Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're locked into DFW's number one sports station, 105.3 The Fan. This is Sean and RJ on a hump day edition. Okay. Kevin Gray alongside RJ Choppy. Troy Hughes holding it down on your Turn It On, Leave It On station, 105.3 The Fan on Odyssey and the Odyssey app. The Autoflex Leasing Fan, text 877-881-1053. The best and worst NFL offseasons. Who had the best NFL offseason according to this NFL national writer? The team that had the best one may surprise you a little bit. And where did the Cowboys fall as they are into day two of mandatory minicamp here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys and Texas Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. As we go into the best and worst NFL offseasons from Bill Barnwell of ESPN, let's get this cut from Mike McCarthy here. This is going to be cut number one, Troy. Mike, how motivated is this team right now with respect to your Cowboys?
We were 6-10 last year. So, I mean, regardless of how we got there and what happened, but the motivation is very high in our building. And I think you've seen it from everybody involved. So, we're still going through our first real off season in a lot of different areas, trying to get things to look a certain way. Still, working through some things. I think it's only normal with the newness of it, but the motivation's high. I mean, it's about winning. We understand that. We feel like we have a great opportunity with the roster that we've established, but we know we have a lot of work to do. Make no bones about it, and we can't spend enough time together. And I think the extra work that's gone into this to this point, I'm very pleased. Motivation's high for all of us.
With the roster that we've established, a lot of that has come into focus with respect to this roster and what has been comprised of it in terms of the NFL draft, using your first six NFL draft picks on the defensive side of the ball versus what you did in free agency. Some folks may be thinking that this Cowboys team improved in terms of their offseason with some of the free agency acquisitions. Some folks feel like they didn't do necessarily enough. And with flea market flipping and bargain basement hunting to find the guys that they actually brought in to help improve this team. But when you look at the best and worst NFL offseasons, before we get to his list in particular, how would you assess how the Cowboys went about their offseason now that we've gone through OTAs and now into mandatory minicamps and what their projection looks like going forward?
I don't think they necessarily got better. I mean, their free agent pickups were zero. Unless you count Dak. If you count Dak, then it was great. If you don't count Dak, then their free agency was what? Nothing. Keanu Neal is a nice little guy to have. That's it. Like, there's not much to him. They brought in a guy coming off an Achilles tear.
Come on, DeMonte KZ?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, I don't know that just bringing in, recycled Falcons is the way to go. But from a draft perspective, I'm a big proponent on defensive depth. That's it, depth. And I think they added some depth to their defense. Is it quality? Who knows? We don't know. We're not going to know about, Joseph and Cox and Parsons. We don't know about them yet. But, they brought in some depth. And that's good. So their offseason was going to be, most of the time when you go 6-10, people panic, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't panic. The Patriots panicked. Panicked. Who the hell signs all those guys? They signed two tight ends who aren't even as good as Dalton Schultz. They sent him to big money. Why would you do that? I don't get it. They still don't have a quarterback. I mean, they may have drafted one. Who knows? Maybe Cam's better. Maybe Cam's better post at you with a full offseason. But all basically what they're going to do is the Cowboys offseason was made when Dak got healthy, Zach gets healthy, Tyron gets healthy. Who else? Collins gets healthy.
Mm-hmm. You're hoping Vander Esch is healthy.
Vander Esch is healthy. Jalen's healthy. That's the offseason is better just by default on that. So they didn't. I don't think they needed to do a ton. Now, I don't know. I don't know what kind of contender they are for the title. I think that just by getting into the tournament, which they will, makes them a contender in some regard. Maybe not the best contender, but it makes them a contender because all you got to do. Like, nobody thought when the playoffs started last year that Tampa was a real threat. They had beaten one team with a winning record all year. That was Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't beat the Rams during the regular season. Lost at home. They lost twice at the Saints. There was one other team thrown in there. Oh, Kansas City. They didn't beat them. They had one win against a winning team, and they wound up winning the Super Bowl. So all you got to do is get in, and the Cowboys will get in because their division stinks.
From the Autoflex CC Fantex, kind of agreeing with your point. On the 469, getting players back is exactly the same as adding players, except it's free. So to the point of Tyron Smith, Leo Collins, Zach Martin coming back in terms of being healthy. And obviously you're signing Dak Prescott as far as your free agency is concerned and getting him back healthy. So getting some players back just by simply being healthy, especially with the importance of the offensive line for this Cowboys team going into this upcoming season. But did they have the worst offseason given the minimal moves that they made? Bill Barnwell puts out his full list of teams with the best and worst NFL offseasons. And a team that he has in his top two is a team that you just mentioned, and the fact that you didn't necessarily like what they did in this offseason. And number two, he does have those New England Patriots who spent over $100 million in free agents.
And then, you know, here, and people are coming up with the Autoflex CC fan text, about me saying that the Dalton Schultz is better than both Patriot tight ends. He had more yards and catches than they did last year. Just throwing that one out there. And he had no quarterback. And Jonnu Smith had Ryan Tannehill, who was has been one of the eight best quarterbacks in the NFL for the last 2 years. I'm not saying Dalton Schultz is better. He had a better year. Though what I'm saying is New England paid premium price for average players. And that's why free agency stinks. And that's why free agency is a waste of time. It's a horrible way to build your team. New England paid a premium for Dalton Schultz.
Well, I think you got to look at it from New England's perspective in this case. Bill Belichick, for the genius that he is as far as an X's and O coach, you know, they haven't done well when it comes to drafting players in the NFL draft over the years. So maybe he looked at a situation and said, well, maybe we need to spend a little bit of money to try and give, you know, Cam Newton and what will be eventually their quarterback and Mac Jones some weapons around him. And Cam Newton has always functioned better with tight ends that can catch the football and making them a focal point in their offense. And that's something that New England has done throughout the course of their years, even going all the way back to, you know, guys like Rob Gronkowski and others. That's been a part of what has made them successful. Now, obviously, you have Tom Brady as your quarterback, but maybe Bill Belichick looked at the situation and said, well, maybe we need to go back to some of that with a guy like Cam Newton who's functioned well with good tight ends in the past.
Dalton Schultz had 63 catches for 615, approximate value of 5. Jonnu Smith had 41 catches for 448, approximate value of 5. Their yards per reception is 1 yard difference. Dalton Schultz is making $0, basically. And Jonnu Smith got boatloads of cash. That's the point. The Cowboys have much better value for their tight end than the Patriots do. And there's really no difference between the two. That's why the Patriots, to me, was a screwy offseason. Like, what are you doing? You're paying a premium for essentially league-average guys.
I did like the move against Matthew Judon, though. I like that move for them on the defense side of the ball because you had to improve there and give yourself some balance in terms of some of the spending that you were doing. They brought back Kyle Van Noy, you know, from the Miami Dolphins after he left previously. So the New England Patriots were the number two team that Bill Barnwell has who had the best offseason. The number one team on his list was the New England Patriots. Now, it's easy to say the New England Patriots, or I'm sorry, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I just said the Patriots were number two. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are number one. the Buccaneers literally did an all 22. They have every single starter back on offense and defense going into this upcoming season to try and defend their Super Bowl championship. I guess you really can't have much of a better offseason than bringing back every single guy that helped you win a Super Bowl championship a season ago, even bringing back Leonard Fournette, you know, on a team-friendly deal to come back and try to defend the championship.
Tampa's in a different world than everybody else. Tampa has a window, as long as Tom is there, they have a window to win. Do whatever you have to do to win. Don't worry about when Tom retires. Don't worry. Most other teams, you want to worry about the present and the future on the same level. The Tampa needs to worry about the present on the only level. There is only one plan, and that's now until Tom
retires.
Win
now, yeah.
Yeah.
Win as much as you can with Tom Brady as much as you can.
Yeah, I'm not even worried about it with the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. You've got a plan for the future. The Tampa is completely different. You've got Tom. He's your only chance to win. You've got him for X amount of time. Go all in.
The Chargers were number three on this list.
Love what the Chargers did.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, you got your guy in Justin Herbert. You signed away Corey Linsley to bring in on your offensive line. Then you back it up in the first round by drafting Rashawn Slater. The Chargers looked at their situation and said, hey, we've got a potential franchise quarterback in one Justin Herbert, and we're going to do everything we can to protect that asset going forward as AP Offensive Rookie of the Year and a guy who's getting a lot of play for potential Offensive Player of the Year in the NFL, given how good he played throwing 31 touchdown passes a season ago. The Chargers had a really nice offseason, I thought, too.
They did. The Chargers are right up there with everybody else on best offseasons. It was fantastic.
So to round out the top five, you had the Chargers at three, the Baltimore Ravens at four. Barnwell had the Washington football team at five as far as the teams with the best NFL offseason. Now, you signed Ryan Fitzpatrick. Okay. We know how the Ryan Fitzpatrick movie typically ends.
Yeah, it ends with somebody else finishing the season.
Yeah, or him throwing the ball to the other team more than he does.
Now, look, he'll have Ryan Fitzpatrick will have four or five games where he looks like
that first
like
month he's gonna come out smoking. Like Fitzmagic's gonna be turned up in the first month and a half of the season.
It is. And then he's gonna have a couple of games where you're like, how did this guy make the league? And then somebody else is gonna finish the year. That's how it works.
So where did the Cowboys fall on this list? You have to go all the way down where Bill Barnwell feels like the Giants at 12 had a better offseason than they did. He feels like even the Jacksonville Jaguars had a better offseason.
Well, I mean, they drafted Trevor Lawrence.
On the strength of that alone,
yeah,
that helps you.
Yeah.
He had the Cowboys at 20 behind the Seattle Seahawks, the Chicago Bears, and the Tennessee Titans, who were at 19. The Cowboys chime in at number 20.
Well, look,
so in the bottom half.
The Titans, you know, obviously you get Julio Jones. But, you know, they lose out. You know, Corey Davis goes to the Jets, high priced. Jonnu Smith goes to the Patriots, high priced. They essentially were able to reduce their cap figure. Which is, you know,
they restructured Ryan Tannehill's deal just the other day also.
You have to do that in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to. At some point, you figure out a way to get cheaper, and they can. I mean, they can get cheaper. They did. They're a good team. Tennessee is a 10-win team. They're going to be a little bit overhyped to start with the Julio deal. You know, their win total number is going to go up, but they're a good team.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And it's Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan with Kevin Gray in studio. Big day here at 105.3 The Fan. Not just because Babe Laufenberg's about to join us, but we are kicking off your chance to win $1,000 every single hour. It hasn't happened this hour yet, Tolo, so make sure you listen for that keyword to win a grand. Segment this morning brought to you by MyComputerCareer.edu, GetMortgageReady.com, and Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. If you are drowning in debt, don't know where to turn, call our guy Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Mark has been with the Fan family since day one. With one phone call, Mark can eliminate your stress, provide you peace of mind, and allow you to focus on more important things. So pick up the phone and call Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS or DallasTexasLegal.com.
Dallas Cowboys color analyst Babe Laufenberg will be joining us here in a matter of moments on your home of the Dallas Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Kevin Gray in for Sean Sharif this week alongside RJ Choppy on your Turn It On, Leave It On station, 105.3 The Fan. And joining us right now on the BetQL hotline, you can find him on Twitter at Babe Laufenberg, one of the true gentlemen in this business. Babe Laufenberg joining us right now on 105.3 The Fan on Sean and RJ. Good morning, Babe. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin. I'm great. RJ, and RJ, I got to tell you, I texted Kevin yesterday after your show, and I said, Sean Sharif right now is Googling Wally Pipp. I'm not so sure Sean's getting his job back. I'm just telling you.
I appreciate the kind words, Babe. Just keeping the seat warm for Sean Sharif as he's gallivanting on his honeymoon.
Well, so was Wally Pipp. 130 games later. You know what's funny about Wally Pipp? You know, he was really, for those who don't know the story, Wally Pipp, of course.
Get that old geezer has been out of here.
Well, I'm trying to tell you, he was the guy who sat down for Lou Gehrig and never got his job back at first base. But Wally Pipp was a really good player for the time. He was an all-star and all that good stuff. And he led the American League in home runs in both 1916 and 1917. You know how many he hit?
Seven.
12. Led the league with 12 the 1 year, and then 9 the next.
Oh.
This was a pre-steroids era.
Yes, definitely the pre-steroids era. The dead ball era. That's truly. Babe, obviously this team has had a chance to go through its few phases of OTAs and now into mandatory minicamp. I will say there was a cool shot of you. I think it was you, Ed Warder, and Brad Chan just perched up on the top of the stanchion there, just looking down at the Cowboys as they were practicing throughout these last week. What have you observed based on what you're noticing from this team so far?
Well, let me tell you about that first. It was taken by the great Bone Crusher Smith, the photographer for the Cowboys. And we're up, we were up on a little kind of balcony overlooking the field. And Brad wanted a better view. And he said, let me get on your shoulders and so I can get up a little higher. And I said, no, Brad, that's not going to work. That is not going to work. So we abscond that. I agree with RJ. I was listening earlier. I always listen.
Hey.
But when he talked about the fact that you take nothing out of these, you know, these mini camps and OTAs to just, I mean, look observationally like we do. And walk away saying, oh, well, they found their corner, or they found, well, that there's no question. He's going to replace so-and-so. You don't get that out of it. You just get a chance. For me, and Brad and I were talking about this yesterday, you just get a chance to see a name with the number, and you kind of try to see the way a guy moves, at least for me, how they move, how they – some guys just say, wow, he's bigger than I thought, or he's skinnier than I thought, or whatever the case may be. But to sit here and say, okay, well, now I can predict what the record will be next year – would be a little foolish.
Right. Yeah, like, you know, when you look at, like, let's look around the league, like Trevor Lawrence threw a couple of picks. Like,
they bust.
Yeah, like in practice, like you're trying things in practice that you wouldn't necessarily do in a game, right?
Well, and
you're seeing if it actually works.
Well, I didn't see the interceptions, right, by Trevor Lawrence, but he's got probably a rookie receiver. Certainly he's a receiver he's unfamiliar with. He breaks it at 8. Instead of going to 12, and so he's late with the ball. I mean, there's a whole myriad of things that could go wrong with something like that. So, yeah, I never put a lot of stock in that. And as you mentioned, Chop, you know, Peyton Manning is still waiting for somebody to break his interception record as a rookie with 28. He did okay. I was here. I witnessed. I was on the team. Troy Aikman won 0-11 his rookie season. He did okay. So there's going to be learning. There's a learning curve. And to sit here and, again, come out of OTAs and mini camps and start ascertaining whether a guy is going to be a player or not is kind of silly.
Babe, I'm interested from a player's perspective. How do players feel about these things with OTAs and mini camps and what they mean for players in terms of their preparation? Or is it just, look, let's just get out of, you know, these, you know, practices unscathed and healthy and then get to training camp before, you know, obviously continuing the real work before, you know, the season starts?
Well, I think it's important. I think it's very important. And I was obviously in a different time where you had, gosh, I think we had 3 mini camps and they were technically voluntary. As the great Darren Hambrick said, what do voluntary mean? And what it mean is if you don't show up at these things under Jimmy Johnson, you're probably not going to be on the football team. Mm-hmm. So you can call them whatever you want. What I think is interesting is obviously the NFL Players Association has, and their leadership has said they wanted players to stay away from the OTA, stay away from anything that wasn't mandatory. And the only thing that's mandatory is the minicamp. So what I think is funny is the Tampa Bay Bucks were staying away, but Tom Brady was organizing workouts
right
for his team with 45 guys attending, which were everybody concerned with the passing game, right? So he's smart. He's like, yeah, hey, we're not going in. We're not going in. But then he gets his group together and don't think they won't be ready. You know, when they face the Cowboys on that September 9th, that Thursday night opener.
Babe, when it comes to Dak and recovering, I shouldn't even say recovering, like he's already recovered, but coming right, back from the injury.
He's recovering. He is in the process of recovering. Yeah. not recovered.
When do you know that he's back? Is it after, you know, is it when he, you know, when the pocket breaks down and he tucks and runs and doesn't think twice about it, there's no hesitation? Is it him simply being able to step into a throw? When do you know that he is fully back?
I think for most guys, you know, Alex Smith talked about it when he came back from his horrific injury. It's kind of that first tackle, that first somebody's going to wrap around Dak Prescott's legs here. It won't be in minicamp.
No. Better not be.
And it won't be in the preseason either because he isn't going to play much, right?
Right.
So that first game when somebody goes down low on him and wraps that ankle around and he gets back up and says, oh, okay. That's what virtually every player who has those type of injuries, those lower body injuries, says. You know, whether it's knee, ankle, foot, took that one hit and I know, okay, I'm okay. But he's not there yet. But obviously you're hoping he will be by the opener, September 9th. The amazing thing to me is when you saw that injury and everybody saw it, to think that you're back doing what he's doing 6 months later or whatever it's been, mm-hmm. It's just, I mean, it's incredible the way they are able to repair guys now. A lot of players way back in the day, but the Gale Sears of the world, Joe Namath, you know, they had these things that would be dealt with arthroscopically today where they were, you know, tearing open the knee. And, you know, they've come such a long way with sports medicine that, again, it's incredible to think that we saw what we saw against the Giants, right? And 6 months later, the guy's playing. So pretty amazing.
Babe Laufenberg joining us right here on Sean and RJ on 105 through the Fan, your home of Dallas Cowboys football. I'm interested in your perspective on this. Obviously, a disappointing season last year going 6-10. Who do you, in your mind, has the most pressure, whether it be offensively or defensively, to help get this thing turned around, whether it be a coach or a player in your mind that you're going to be specifically focused on as you get more into not only mini camp but also into training camp as this offseason goes on?
Got to be the head coach, right? I mean, he's responsible. He's accountable. Let me rephrase that. It's the old thing, you may not be responsible, but you will be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 6-10 obviously wasn't going to cut it. You can list a multitude of reasons why, right? COVID, new defensive coordinator, so many players out to injury, just a ridiculous amount. There's always going to be attrition there, but you lose both your tackles basically for the season. You lose your all-pro, possible Hall of Fame right guard for 6 games. You lose your quarterback 5 games into it. That being said, they can't lull themselves into thinking, now we're back because we have these guys back. Because if you go back to the first 5 games, they're a 1-3 football team. losing to an 0-5 New York Giants team, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they had Dak Prescott. So the notion that, well, Dak's back and everything, now it's a rainbow out there. You got to be careful. You got to guard against that because, again, and it was Andy Dalton that let him back in that Giants game because obviously Dak had been injured and he was out. So I think you got to be real careful of saying, well, now we got Dak, and so here we go.
Babe Loffenberg joining us right here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys, 105 through the Fan. Last one before we get you out of here, babe, because I'm interested in this also. Obviously, with these players going through, you know, mini camps and training camps, it can be a lot of, you know, monotony going on with the practices and trying to learn new things. For you, what's one story that you could tell us about your mini camp or training camp experience that we don't necessarily know about that you're willing to share on air with us?
Well, RJ likes it already, don't you, RJ?
Absolutely do.
I remember, so I'm out of college, right? And it was a smaller world. I didn't know guys in the NFL. My neighbor wasn't in the NFL. I didn't have any, you know, now they're going to camps before the draft and, you know, they're working out in Arizona together. So there's a whole different culture now surrounding that. But anyway, I literally graduate from Indiana on Saturday or whatever. And Sunday I'm in Washington, then Washington Redskins, the Washington football team. And we've got a mini camp. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, I'm going through it and, you know, putting the stuff in, and they just won the Super Bowl the year before, beat Miami. So I'm like, geez, here's John Riggins. Here's, wow, there's Theismann. There's all these guys. But again, I didn't have any experience with all that. So I'm in on the field, get my rep, probably my one rep of the day. And we just have a real simple concept going on. The slot runs a corner route at like 17, 20 yards, and the outside guy on the slot runs a little under route. So I hit the little under because the slot was covered there in man coverage and the corner's, you know, in the guy's back hip pocket. So I throw it to the under route. We get into the film room after the practice and the quarterback coach is running the film back and forth, right? You know how they do. And he said, why don't you throw the corner here? And I'm thinking, okay, he's looking for a really esoteric answer here because he's covered. That's number one. So I'm thinking, okay, what does he want me to say? So then as I'm thinking about it, he said, why don't you throw the corner? And so I said, because he was covered, thinking he would say, yeah, great, don't risk it, take the under route, let's go second and five and move the chains. So I said, well, because he's covered. And he just stopped the projector, he turned and looked at me, and he said, that's open in this league.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, wow, this is really going to be hard. I mean, there was a six-inch window. And so you learn, okay, that is open. You better figure out a way to get the ball in there. But that was the eye-opener for me where I said, oh, man, this could be really hard.
Well, babe, we appreciate you joining us right here on our home of the Dallas Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Looking forward to this offseason. And once training camp gets started, hopefully get a chance to talk to you again, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I'll be honest quickly, once training camp starts and you put the pads on some days and you do get a better feel for these guys as you go along. But, yeah, right now we're just all trying to match up names and numbers.
Well, hopefully you do a good job of doing that. We appreciate it, man.
Thank you. See you guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
How you can go one-on-one with Dallas Cowboys linebacker Amari Cooper, plus Nickelodeon's out here winning Emmys for playoff games in the NFL. Let's go around the NFL here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Troy, let's start with Micah Parsons and his budding chess game?
Yeah, so you mentioned Amari Cooper. No, it's not going up against Amari Cooper, Tolo. It's your chance to go up against Micah Parsons, because Micah Parsons, if you don't know, has a little free time when he's not trying to get acquainted and accustomed to all of his new teammates and everything. But apparently he has time now to play chess against Amari Cooper. And if you have the time, Tolos, you can do the same thing. Micah, have you played Amari in chess?
We was actually just playing. We was interrupted to come do the meeting, come do the interview. It's been really hectic. He does have a lead right now, so I won't lie to the media and say, I beat him or anything. He does have a nice lead, but he won't play me on chess.com. He will only play me in person. Yeah, I'm on chess.com if you want to play me at Stick City 11, STIX City 11.
So there you go.
Playing online chess?
He's playing online chess. Give it to us one more time, Micah.
Yeah, I'm on chess.com if you want to play me at Stick City 11. STIX City 11.
Okay. So if you want to get down like that and play, do you know how to play chess?
Yes.
Really?
I do.
Yeah. Cool. Pretty much.
I haven't played in a long time, but I do know how to play.
See, I grew up, checkers.
I think checkers is a better game.
And then I got real dorky and I was into Stratego and stuff like that.
Oh, way better.
Wait, you think
checkers is better? I get king. I'm a lord. I get to get king.
That's not.
What?
Really, chop?
Huh?
Good lord.
Ah, see, you said it.
But do you play like chess, like the way with the clock and you're doing all that thing, Kevin?
Oh, no.
Okay, you don't get down like that.
No, not quite that deep. No.
Okay. What's his name? Bobby Fischer?
Yeah. Right, yes. Yeah, the
good chess reference.
Yeah, I never got chess. I never got it. Like, it's, the people in the park, you see, like, these intellectual people that sit in these parks.
Oh, yeah.
Play chess like they did in whatever park you go to. What was the movie? Independence Day. Dad's sitting down there playing in the park. It's like, what kind of life is that you lead? You just walk out of the park, you see your strange friend that you haven't seen in a year. Oh, look, the guy's still playing chess. Let's play some chess together.
Sitting there, some guy next to you is like, urinating in a jar. It's like, it's not the same thing. But
to play shuffleboard and urinate in a jar.
What? Wow.
Like shuffleboard. I can't wait to play shuffleboard. Nice. As an old man.
I do imagine myself like in a New York City park, like just sitting there just playing chess all day.
Really?
As an old man. Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's cool. It's a great way to pass the time. Get yourself a nice day, get you a playing partner, and just play chess all day. Like that's a great way to spend the day.
Now, here's the thing. Do you think DeMarcus Lawrence plays chess?
Maybe.
You think Tank is a chess player? Because here's the thing. Micah Parsons not only playing chess with Amari Cooper. Yesterday, he also talked about his new relationship with Tank.
Yeah, for sure. I remember last week, and we was watching a film with Pass Rush, and D-Law came up to me and was like, "You pass rush like that, Rook?" I was like, "Yeah, I used to be a defensive end." He's like, "All right, tap in with me." So, me and him been getting closer, and if I'm confused out there, he'll help me out. We'll talk a little bit, and, coming up here after, OTAs is over, we're going to work together before camp starts.
I mean, they're going to be trying him out as a designated pass rusher, too. He's been working there, as reports have been. We've seen, as far as mandatory minicamp and OTAs are concerned. In fact, from the Dallas Morning News quote from Micah Parsons, just creating havoc and creating disruption. Being able to create that excitement, momentum change, a chance to get to the ball and get back to our explosive and get it back to our explosive offense. That's the kind of what I'm looking about as far as pass rushing is concerned. So, they're going to use Micah Parsons in a variety of ways when it comes to this defense. Good to see that D-Law is taking him under his wing a little bit to help him out. So I like it. These are the kinds of things that you find out from mandatory mini camps and practices. You know, what guys are working on, and more importantly, the relationships that they're developing, because that's part of growing a team in terms of team chemistry. So I like it. So good for Parsons as he continues to work out there.
A couple of people on the Autoflex DC fan text. Looks like his rating is 729. Whatever that means.
I have no idea. What
that
means.
Is that good?
Chess.com.
Let me go to chess.com. Hold on.
There you go. 729.
Turn off my music. Chess.
I'm terrified.
I mean, 720, that sounds like a high number. Like, that's, if it's on a scale of like 1,000, that's not bad if it's on that kind of a scale. But I guess we'll find out here in just a minute. Apparently, we found out last night the 42nd annual Sports Emmys took place last night. And we went through some of the winners, right? Nickelodeon was a winner last night.
So was that this year that Nickelodeon did this? Or that was 2019 season, 2020 year? Or was it the 2020 season?
Are you talking about the Saints game with the slime?
Yeah, yes, that's right.
That would be this past season.
Breeze.
Oh, yeah.
Over the middle. It's Thomas. Oh. He dances his way into the end zone. New Orleans is on the board first.
There we go with the slime cannons. Hey, that is epic.
Now, obviously, being a father of three, I tuned in with my kids thinking, okay, I'm going to watch Nickelodeon NFL. It was really entertaining.
It was, actually.
It was really awesome, okay? I mean, I get it. I get there's some, you know, creatine, you know, guys out there like, no, man, I don't want to see SpongeBob out there. Blah. But, dude, it was fun. It was fun. The slime cans, and they had, like, SpongeBob there in the end zone.
I thought Nate Burleson was fantastic
Nate
with the covers.
He was awesome.
Fantastic, yeah.
He was really good.
But the NFL's doing what you want Major League Baseball to do when it comes to appealing to the kids. Like, they're actually looking to appeal to a younger demographic, and this is one way that you can do it.
Fine. It was great. Like, let's do it. You know, I don't remember if it was this. I couldn't remember when it was.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed the SpongeBob between the uprights.
Yeah. Like, the slime cannons. I thought it was cool. So, I mean, good for, you know, Nickelodeon. But, they won an Emmy for their NFL playoff coverage for the Saints-Bears playoff game. Devontae Adams has some thoughts when it comes to minicamp and one Aaron Rodgers and whether or not, you know, how he feels about his absence.
Devontae Adams has some thoughts on a lot of things, and I absolutely loved this quote because he also was in a contract dispute with the Green Bay Packers. He does not have an extension. He is looking for one. So they asked him, right, whether or not he would actually be at minicamp, training camp, will he hold out at any point during this offseason?
Yeah, I'll be here, man. I'll be here. I signed up to go to work and play. I'm from East Palo Alto, California. I grew up with $0. I'm not not forfeiting any of my money that I've earned and signed for already. So I'll be there for sure.
Love it. Love it. It's a much better answer than that spoiled brat Jeopardy wannabe guy, Aaron Rodgers. Much better answer than what he would give. Because Rodgers looks like a petulant child, and Devontae Adams looks like someone who was actually taught how to honor a contract. You know,
like that was a very grown up, very mature answer.
Of course, it was. He's a grown up, mature individual.
Yeah,
it's what he is. And you know, maybe I don't know. I don't know what would have happened here, but you know, Devontae Adams, you know, he won me over with that one. And you don't have to have it all the time. You know, I don't have honor all the time. I know I don't have it. I barely ever do.
Honor is not necessarily the middle name of RJ Choppy.
No. It's not. But
I mean, be who you are, though, Chop. Be who you are, though. Embrace who you are.
I have.
That's all you have to do.
I'm fully aware that I'm a moron. Completely aware of it. But Devontae Adams, I mean, this is good. This is good. Now, it's probably a terrible thing for his contract.
Right. That's right.
But, you know, from an honorable standpoint, this is it.
Yes. Very honorable thing to say, contract leverage wise. You know, maybe that's not the move. But, you know, good for Devontae Adams. Look. It's about the good thing, the only good thing that they got right now on offense with respect to what's going on now that Aaron Rodgers is not around for the moment. But Devontae Adams is still one of the best wide receivers in all the National Football League. If there is no other man that's been more confused this offseason, speaking of the Packers, it's got to be Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur caught in the middle between his GM, Brian Gutekunst, and his quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. Troy, here is Matt LaFleur discussing how he feels and what's going on with Aaron Rodgers' absence.
You know, I think anytime you're talking about any player on your football team, you'd love everybody to be here. And so it is what it is, man. And we'll focus and we'll control and work on the guys that are here and try to help them become the best to their ability and coach the heck out of them. You know, I'm naturally optimistic, but, you know, again, we'll take it day by day and just do whatever we can to help remedy this situation.
You know what that screams to me? Help me. Help me. Somebody help me figure this thing out. Because that's not a man that sounds like he wants to be working with Jordan Love right
now. Boy, the tone of it is what it is sounded like
that's defeated.
It is what it is.
Like, he's a defeated man right now.
He's like, I don't know what to do. You know, that's how it was.
Sounds like Garrett Cole.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Is it a D move? Is it a D move by Aaron Rodgers, what he's doing right now? Or is
No. Like, if this is how you feel, the trust is broken between him and this organization. Once that happens, it is irreparable at that point. Because no matter what you say to try to placate to the feelings of Aaron Rodgers, it's not going to happen. Once a player, I feel like, feels that the trust is broken between him and the organization, especially a position and a stature of he is as a quarterback, you can't repair that. No matter what you try and do, offer him a new contract? No, I don't want that. It's about, for him, in Aaron Rodgers' his own words, it's about the culture of how he feels they get down with their business, and he doesn't like it.
Look, I get what you're saying, but you could repair anything.
But how do you repair this situation, though? Because clearly he doesn't trust the GM. He doesn't trust the organization to do right by him because he felt like they haven't done right by him for years now. How do you repair something like that?
I mean, they haven't done right by him. They were just in the NFC Championship game.
I'm just saying for what Rodgers has said from his perspective.
I know. I mean, look, I don't know how they repair it. He ain't the first one to not have trust in this front office.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they repair it, but do they have to?
If you don't want to run Jordan Love out there as your quarterback, you probably need to repair that.
You know, he's under contract. What is he going to do, sit out?
The way that Aaron Rodgers is going about this, do I think he will ultimately sit out? No, I do not. But what we've seen from him so far, I definitely am not putting it past him at this point.
I'm not going to put it past him necessarily, but I mean, if I'm the Packers, I welcome a sit out too. I'd rather you sit out than me trade you before the season. I'm not going to trade you before the season and pick up the 28th pick in the draft next year because you're going to be good with the team. I'd rather not trade you. You sit out. I'll get a high pick because the guy I got stinks anyway. And then I'll win. Then I'll trade you again for another high pick. Because the team that I'm going to trade you to is going to be in the top 10 in the draft. That's what I would do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.